What?
It counts. It's, I'm awake. I'm here. What more do you need from me?
Your introduction will be very, the show introduction will be very enthusiastic today, like, hey, this is podcast 15,
Fuck. Episode 15.
This is Core, I'm half here. I asked Storm for 1 minute, I took 45. So in true Raven fashion, you decided to add on an extra 40 minutes to show, you know, you how much you can one up the Griffin in terms of who can be more late. No, I'm not going to let Storm win. No.
No, I've just been working so many hours lately, it's killing me.
Oh, man. Hope you get good money for it.
I hope so, too.
But I thought things were quiet where you work right now, Cor.
They do, but we've had quite a few people leave, so fill in the hours and then train new people, and yeah.
Oh, man.
Have you ever trained somebody and then just knew while you were training them, there ain't no way you're going to fucking work out?
Oh, yeah. Probably every other person who hits that mountain, who hits the place we work.
You're the only one who keeps America alive, or Utah.
That sucks.
You're like.
Well, it's like they go into the job expecting one thing, realize it's another, and can't handle it. So it's like it's on them. It's their own fault. What were they expecting when they joined, you know?
What, do you think it's the extreme boredom where you just sit around waiting for an incident or the paperwork or what is it, the monotony?
It could be one of two things. Either one, they go into it thinking it is going to be all action and crazy and hyper and they're going to get, you know, blood spraying everywhere and they'll be glorious. And then they're disappointed by the fact that, you know, we only get like one or two incidents a week. And even then, those are not, like, critical incidents. We get maybe a critical incident, like, once every 3 months or so. And then, the flip side of that is those who arrive and, you know, get an incident. And it may not even be a severe incident, but then they're going, oh, man, I don't think this kind of work is cut out for me. Well, it was a pleasure for the 2 months you were here. Goodbye.
It's like... You show up. You
oh,
show
man.
Up to do this line of work, and then you finally help somebody, and then you decide after you've got blood and guts all over you, after all that training, that no, not for me.
Yeah, really? Exactly.
Oh man.
You know, didn't the training course you went to at school kind of warn you a little bit?
Oh yeah, it definitely did. There were graphic images of bones sticking out of skin. Not video game or CGI, like actual bones. There was video of cut arteries and, you know, someone experiencing cardiac arrest, but nope, they apparently still can't handle it.
That reminds me, in Indiana, when you go for driving school, they're required by the state to show you this video, where basically it's something straight out of the 1970s, where you got to see cars crash through buildings, run over little kids, heads chopped off because the car, you know, flipped over. And
decapitations, awesome.
It was great. It was top shelf. My classmates are all horrified and went and puked, and I was
I have one. Okay, so... train suicide incidents are kind of like a national all-time high right now. People will go stand out on the tracks, either facing or looking away from the train, and just wait for it to hit them. Right. When a train hits you, there's basically nothing left of you. You become a fine red mist with some like white paste in there somewhere. But oftentimes you'll find like, you know, dismembered limbs that have flown like 20, 25 feet in the air, or your head or something like that. So... there is actually a special team within forensics units of the police that specialize in train suicide cleanups. And all they do is they go around and they try to locate what body parts are remaining and put those parts in a body bag. And the rest of it, they just kind of mark out, okay, well, here's where the impact happened. Here's, you know, they get into the science of it. but the majority of it is just right. locating the dismembered limbs of the person who was evaporated by a train.
Oh, man.
And we got to see one of those awesome videos as well. That one was CGI. It wasn't actually a person committing suicide, thank God.
Yeah, but I feel sorry for those train engineers because... Ugh.
They get into that line of work. They don't know what's going to happen.
You will kill people in your job.
Yeah. They don't think, oh, I'm going to go drive a train. It's honest to God, one of the safest like modes of transportation because it sticks to a track. But yet people are still so bad that they'll go stand in front of a train.
Yeah. A lot of railroad companies provide counseling for their train engineers because inevitable you're going to off some people over the course of your career. I wonder if they've incorporated that into Train Simulator 2017.
I'm sure there's a mod or expansion for it. If there has to be a community made mod for that.
Yeah, and I wonder, and then it'll be just like Birdemic. You'll hit it, and instead of them exploding, they just go flopping around in circles with no damage whatsoever, bounce off a few trees, and then walk away.
Ragdoll.
Yeah, it needs to go full ragdoll physics.
Oh, God.
I absolutely love ragdoll physics in games. They're funny as shit.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. So what is this, episode 15?
This
is that what it is now?
I think it's...
It's 15.
It is 15?
It's 15.
We're sure. We're absolutely positive. Yeah. This is episode 15. Because
holy shit.
The last episode we did was episode 14. So yes, that would make this one 15.
Yeah.
That Cork and Mac!
That seems logic.
I had to just look at the website just now just to be able to see.
Well, welcome to the episode. I'm Storm, the chirpy one.
Wait.
No, by all means.
You're breaking traditions here with the... with the
traditions. Fight the system, fight the power.
And that person laughing is clearly the Prime Minister of Australia.
Australia?
Why? Why should I be that guy? I do not know anything about, because who knows details about Australia?
Exactly! That is why you could be the Prime Minister, because nobody would know!
Isn't Australia like some island?
You could just fly out to Australia and be like, hey guys, I'm the Prime Minister. And even the Australians would be like, oh, okay, that's cool. Right on. I don't know why my Australians talk with the Californian surfer dude accent, but righteous, bro.
And then we have our wonderful California Raven, who's nicknamed after a flavor of Kool-Aid. Welcome to the show, Cor. Or, as we lovingly call you on the street, grape drink.
That confuses me.
Okay, so much. We're not letting Storm do introductions anymore. That was just weird.
Broadline 15.
What are you guys drinking this week?
Just drinking a Manx Hofner Urquell.
A Manx? Like a... You're drinking water softener Woodhouse. Okay.
Water softener Urquell.
Yes. How about you, Storm?
I don't know. I got some alcohol shit. Let me go get it. I'll be back in a minute.
And he chastises me for being late. And he's not even prepared.
Yeah. How can you forget your booze?
Well, I'm going to introduce my beer, and he just doesn't get to know. So I'm drinking Wild Huckleberry Wheat Lager. It's a lager from Whitefish, Montana. It's delicious.
With wheat.
Yes, it is really good. It's a wheat beer, yeah. It's a wheat lager, okay. Actually, which is really uncommon.
Oh, okay.
But it actually tastes like huckleberry, which is the greatest thing in the world to me.
Okay, all right, I got my shit. And for the record, Mother Clucker, I had my booze ready, but your purple ass took so long to get to his microphone, because we all know how long you take to preen in the morning, that my booze got warm.
I literally rolled out of bed, plugged everything in, and now I'm here. There was no preening involved.
He's probably still laying at the floor and podcasting.
So. He's probably just, you know, slowly playing with himself while he wakes up talking.
Hi,
to us.
This is Core Raven podcasting to you from the floor.
From the floor of the old folks' home.
Dude, I would actually, I kind of totally want to do that now. Can I get down on the floor and just podcast while staring at the ceiling?
You can.
Totally. I'm going to try it. Okay. Go ahead and introduce your beer. I'm getting on the floor. BRB.
You don't do that. This beer I'm drinking this week is a beer. It's Bud Light Lime Raspberryta.
Okay.
A friend got this for me. It's in this little can thing. It looks all gay and fabulous. So I was like, okay, I got to try this. Even the pop-up tab is pink. Reminds me of Core.
So. But Core is purple.
Oh, yeah, but it's like a pinkish purple. Or as they say, where we come from, like magenta.
Oh, my God. This is like a whole new experience, man. This is wonderful. Okay, I'm podcasting from the floor from now on. This is, yes. Oh, this
hey,
is,
you're white.
This is
hey, ever since shit. Ever since episode two, I realized that podcasting was much better when I was drunk in my lazy boy. So that's what I do.
Okay, so that makes sense. That makes sense with the background sounds. Oh, man, this is like I'm just staring at the ceiling right now and the world is just at peace. I am one with the universe.
Have you ever tried a Raspberryta?
Not Miller, but Coors or
Bud Light.
Bud Light, that's right. I have. I've had their margaritas, and those aren't too bad. Their raspberries were kind of bland.
All right, this might be interesting. I'm trying to sip now. Let's see here. And it doesn't taste like shit. Good. There's hope to be had. So, ladies and gents, as you can see, Core laying on the floor is just us beginning our experience with all the different and crazy ways you can video game. And I did some talking with, Peck Peck, and Core, did you know there is a bird simulator?
I did not until I saw that picture that he posted.
Actually, there are like, I think I found about 3 different bird simulators, and there is even a VR bird simulator out there.
I have seen the VR bird simulator. Okay, this is actually kind of weird being on the... Okay, sorry. I have actually seen the VR simulator, and that one looks really weird because you're actually flapping your arms if you're on that table thing. But the one where you're wearing the VR headset is... Do either of you have a VR headset?
I do not. I never experienced an
The VR technology's headset. Still got to come down in price, and more content has to become available for me to justify the investment.
There is a lot of content being produced for it. You can even play Elite Dangerous with the VR headset, and I haven't had the chance to, but that looks like a lot of fun.
I gotta say, Core, your voice sounds a hell of a lot more sexy when you're on the floor.
Also a bit metallic. It's really
Yeah, my microphone's not picking me up as well, but I'm kind of too lazy to adjust it right now.
It's like you've got this macho, manly Core. Manly.
Yeah, way more bass in your voice.
That's right.
Just try the 2.
Drop the bass.
So not. I'm already laying in my bed, but now I'm staring at the ceiling too.
Welcome to the world's most comfortable podcast. Fleeks is in bed, Storm is in his lazy boy, and Core is on the floor.
So we all know who got the shortest end of the stick.
I don't think you're one to talk about short sticks, buddy.
Oh my god. So on this week's episode of let's see, the stroking your inner bird. Core provides us unique cloaca masturbation techniques. Isn't that right? What?
Here's my first technique. Just rub. Just keep rubbing. That's all you got to do. Oh, man. There's nothing special about it. Just rub.
You go circular and then back and forth. And then you get fancy with that shit. A tune.
No, no, no. Here's my take on it. If you can't get someone to do it for you, don't do it at all.
that makes me think about how did we come from video games to cloacas?
Because they're birds. Who cares? When can birds not have a conversation that involves cloacas? Think about it. There's always some cloaca action going on.
I have returned from the floor. It was comfortable, but we had to part ways.
Why?
I couldn't drink my beer.
Oh, yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah, that is a problem. That is a problem indeed. Floor Simulator 2019.
You just lay there.
All the laying on the floor action you can want.
Occasionally, a little ant will come along and try to bite you. Your job is to flick it away.
Available for 3 easy payments of $19.95.
This isn't an ads as seen on TV advertisement. It's a video game. You just pay full price right away.
Guys, that we one thing that I love about video games, because in case you haven't figured out, we're kind of on a video game trip this episode, is how many insane simulators there are for shit no one could be possibly interested in. Well, for the most part. Case in point, Farming Simulator.
I beg to differ. Seriously. That game is actually a lot of fun.
Watching corn grow is fun?
No, you should actually play it because it is actually kind of fun. Because you take your tractor, you drive it out, you till up the fields, then you take your what are those big things called that like sow the fields? You take that big machine out and then you sow up the field, and then yeah, you do grow your corn, you resell your corn, and you start with the season over again. You can also take
Farming Simulator.
You can also take your tractor into town and start running people over with your tractor.
Oh, okay, now we are coming to the fun part.
What?
Yes.
Does it like spray red mist on them and you get some money for each one?
They ragdoll. Ooh, this... They ragdoll. They glitch the fuck out and they bounce all over the screen.
Now there's something about this game that's redeeming. All right. I'm down for that.
Here's what actually makes the game even better. It has a co-op mode, so you can farm with friends. Storm, would you like to play Farming Simulator with me sometime?
Absolutely. I got to see this farmer hop and bounce in action.
But the last time I checked prices, this game cost like $60.
But I think it is only like 40
Walmart
or something.
Walmart has it on sale for like $20.
But you can also get it on like PS4 and Xbox. I'm not even kidding you.
What?
Yes.
What? You know what kind of simulators are also fun to play? That are really shitty simulators. They're so shitty, it's fucking fun to play it, especially when they got a co-op mode like a German game, a German simulator called Die Polizei, like literally der Police. And you can actually play German cops in a co-op
Father
mode.
The police, whoop, whoop!
And the first thing that's hilarious about it is one has to play a male, the other one a female cop. And the male cop has the gun. The female cop only has pepper spray.
Oh, Jesus.
Reinforcing gender stereotypes.
And you can, like, shut and spray everything and then call the ambulance. And when they come, they're driving in. You have to see that. I can't even explain it. It's hilarious to look at, to watch. Let's plays of that because it's so buggy and...
Oh, this is horrible. Actually, no, I think I've seen it because, yeah, the ambulance pulls up and they, like, the two paramedic guys, they get out and they don't really even, like, they pick up the patient, and it's like picking them up as if it's on a backboard, but there's nothing underneath the patient, so they just kind of like put it in the truck, just like hover, levitate it into the truck, and drive away.
Yeah, and it just levitates on the on that board. Also, the ambulance is often just tires. Just tires.
Oh, geez. That so must be a
only the tires coming.
That's because it's a coded Microsoft product.
So there is also another simulator game. Have you guys seen Surgeon Simulator 2016?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes.
I actually think, my God.
Play that game drunk. Play it drunk.
Yeah, you can totally do that. That one's fun because you can actually, like, so you're sitting there operating on someone, and you, like, cut out their organs and stuff because you have, like, all the tools. You have your scalpel, you know, your forceps, everything like that. But if you take your controllers and you look up, you can actually cut out the eyeballs of your fellow operator. What are they called? Your surgeon's assistant.
What?
You can cut out the eyeballs, then you can hold on to them, and you can stick them back in his head.
And he'll still keep operating like nothing?
Yes. Yes, he will.
Damn, that's a good assistant.
He's dedicated to the job.
Hey, the doctor cuts out my eyeball. Hey, that's totally normal. That's a job I applied for.
do you two squawk boxes consider Second Life to be a game?
Not really anymore, if I'm honest with you.
It's more like an interactive chat with 3D graphics.
It's one bad 3D YIF box. That's what it is.
About 5, maybe even up to 10 years ago, kind of when it was still early to mid-age, I did play it. It was okay. It was still just as, like, it's still very much what Storm was just describing now, back then. But it's always been super buggy, and the models and animations and everything's always been really jaunty, and it's just always had this feel of just an unpolished, unqualified attempt at a video game.
Yeah, I never managed to get my avatar right.
And I know people who have poured like $500, $1,000 into, you know, customizing their character and everything like that, and putting it, like, you know, using that for in-game currency. And I just don't, it's not worth it. I don't understand why.
I agree. I mean, the joke is, especially when it first came out, was Second Life was for people that didn't have a first life. And it has evolved a bit, but even when I went on with a friend recently, and he kind of showed me around and what it's like today. Even today, when, you know, if you're a fur and you want to go and, you know, get your yiff on, the animations are so bad.
Yeah.
That if they angle the penis wrong, it's just appearing through the stomach or out the back of the head.
Which is exactly where those fetishes come from.
And so I'm sitting there and he's trying to correct it. You know, there's a script they run to adjust these things, and I'm just dying watching this horse penis go through the back of this bird's head. And it's like, what the hell?
Oh, Jesus.
People pay for this shit, but It's really, in my opinion, if you're going to role play, text-based role play is the best because it allows, especially if you provide enough description, which is an art in itself, it allows you to sort of have a movie going in your head. So your imagination's the best thing you can get, really. It's, your imagination's a powerful thing.
Now, if we want to talk role play, we got to take it all the way back to the days of Furcadia, dude.
You know that thing still exists?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it does still exist.
It actually recently had a big revitalization effort, probably within the last couple of years, where they had...
I didn't know that.
I don't know if it was Patreon or like GoFundMe, but they had a big effort and big push, and they actually managed to hit their stretch goals. So a whole bunch of new characters were added, and a whole bunch of like...
Do they have birds? I totally forgot about it.
I don't remember. It has been so long since I played Furcadia.
I know they've got a griffin character. But back in the old days of Furcadia, maybe this changed, I don't know. The griffin character was a ultra premium character that you had to pay for.
That sounds about right.
Fucking bastards.
Because they had like foxes and wolves and horses and dragons that you could be for free. Yeah. But like there were some that you had to...
I don't know if it's real, if it's really in-game or just fan art, but I can see an secretary avatar here.
Of Furcadia?
Yeah, but I think it's just concept.
Ah, really okay.
Game. Oh,
lame. Sad. No secretary birds, and that's too bad.
We need to get our secretary in on that.
No, we need to make our own Feathercadia. Plumcadia.
Birdcadia. Birdcadia. There you go. There
we would have go. To name it Birdania. That would be the world that they would travel through.
Yeah, Birdania online game where you're meeting friends and fighting capitalism.
Propaganda against capitalism, yes.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Oh, no, no. For this show, for the record, we do not support, condone, or otherwise any form of currency. If you want to be capitalist, socialist, whatever, go for it. We don't really care. Just if you're a communist, why the fuck are you watching us or listening to us anyways? You got a bigger problem. So, they've got Furcadia still.
Thing is...
Furcadia is kind of like... a weird version The Sims Online.
How excited are you guys for Breath of the Wind? Or wait, did I get
that right? I'm super excited. I will buy it instantly on the first day. For the Wii U.
Breath of the Wild, I'm sorry. Yeah, so
I didn't know what you meant, and yeah, like I said, I'm super excited.
Yeah, me too, actually.
And yeah, I never played the last one. How was it called? Skyward Sword.
Oh,
never
seriously?
Because it's still so expensive.
Yeah, well, understandable, but... Okay, so I think the lot
I never
of...
had a Wii U. I never had a Wii, that's the problem.
I think there are a few Zelda fans, like hardcore Zelda fans, who may be a little upset with me for saying this, but... Skyward Sword is second to Ocarina of Time in my book. It is so good. It is so amazing that it is just below Ocarina of Time in terms of amazing story, plot, and gameplay. It is awesome.
Well, all my favorites are like 2D Zeldas, but Ocarina of Time is really a masterpiece, and I love Twilight Princess, but my problem with it, it's so freaking easy to play. It's so, like...
it does kind of hold your hand throughout the game a bit more than most.
Yeah, maybe it's not... it's very hard for beginners who never played Zelda or something, but for me it was like a walk in the park. And that's a trend I noticed for all the more modern games. They're really, really hard games. And I think that's somehow a bit of a sad trend, because I myself are like at least a bit of a challenge. Not frustrating hard.
What
like
game are we talking about here?
Zelda games in general. Specifically Zelda Twilight games, Princess, okay. Right now.
No, I started to talk about generally that difficulty decreases in modern games more and more. You know what I mean? Like,
I
games are
do.
Not a challenge.
Nintendo kind of went through a long phase of, we're going to make all of our games, you know, super family friendly so that the whole family can pick it up and play. To some degree it worked, but to the people who are very big Nintendo fans, it was kind of a big slap in the face to them, because all of their favorite games were suddenly really, really kind of getchy and easy.
Oh, man. I don't want to start with Spirit Tracks and Phantom Hourglass.
Right?
I played those, and those are super easy. And also, you do not really have an open world anymore. You have to, like, use... In Phantom Hourglass, you have to use a ship between islands.
Yep.
And in Spirit Tracks, you're riding a train.
In Wind Waker itself, it was still kind of open worldy in the fact that, I mean, you still had to, you know, pilot the ship around and, you know, use the wind to take you to these different islands, but it was still a lot of fun. It was still a really good game. So you were saying a moment ago that you really liked the 2D games, so I'm guessing you loved, like, Link to the Past?
I especially loved Link's Awakening. Link's Awakening is such a good game.
That was a good one.
Oh man.
So, well, Nintendo came out with a Link Between Worlds, which was kind of a remake, so to speak, of Link to the Past. And they did Link to the Past a good honor in that game. They did really well. They made it challenging. They brought back a lot of the same elements, but they brought in the new, like, flip into 2D mode kind of as an element in the game. And that was wonderful. Super
good. Yeah, but what was pretty much annoying me was that you had all the items from the start.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of not getting spoiled, not knowing anything about the game and finding out what the new items are, getting them in the dungeons and stuff. You know what I mean? I love the items in Zelda.
Yeah, because they unlock the future. They unlock all of the places you can go next.
I don't think any of the Zeldas were as good as the original for NES, if I'm being honest with you.
No, go away. You know better than that, Bad Griffin.
I like classic gaming, and even with all of its weirdness, it's still, when it comes to playing Zelda, the one for NES, still the one I'd rather go to.
Have you even played the Super Nintendo's Link to the Past?
Yeah, I actually have, and it's a good game. It's just not as good as the original Nintendo one, my opinion.
If you say so, you're a weird griffin.
Okay, we why still was accept the Nintendo you? One so bad?
We still accept you as one of our own, though.
I actually only watched speedruns of the first Zelda. I never actually played it.
You played through it. It was really difficult in the way that it was challenging, that if you died and you didn't have, you know, your point save, then you had to start over every single time. There was no actual saving.
Well, that's called Japanese hardness. That's what that's called.
What games are coming up that you guys are excited for?
Oh, upcoming games.
I'm excited for pretty much every classic Nintendo Mario type game coming out for the Nintendo Switch. I'm really excited for that console. It looks awesome, and it's probably the first time I'm going to get a brand new console right after launch.
I think I'm actually on that same boat with you, Storm. I was late in buying the Wii, and then I decided to boycott the Wii U entirely. And now with the Switch coming out, I'm really excited for it.
It looks like Nintendo took all the feedback from their fans and combined basically the best of a traditional gaming system for your television with the best of a portable, and it looks very intuitive. Of course, build quality and such remains to be seen, though. If it is going off their previous generation systems, usually Nintendo products are well made, so I anticipate them putting together a very, very fun package to play with. I knew you were going to go there as soon as I said that. But I don't know about you guys, but there's something about playing, you know, with Donkey Kong and with Mario, and it's just fun. It's a timeless classic. I don't care how Nintendo, whether it's Paper Mario, whether it's racing a kart with Mario, you know, getting shot at by Bowser. I don't care what it is. It's just Mario is one of those timeless classics, and it's always fun.
Yeah. The newest, I really dig the Mario Maker. Oh, God. Yeah. It's like a childhood dream comes true. I make my own. Okay, most of people are using it to producing pure garbage, especially Japanese.
There's ones that are so difficult that, like, only one or two people have actually managed to complete the puzzle itself, but they are possible to complete.
Yeah. Of course, the developer has to manage to play through the level, else he can't upload it. So you can't make unplayable levels, but, oh, God.
It's true. But if you design the level, then you know how hard it takes to jump and how far you got to run, and that, you know, an Oompa Loompa is going to come flying across the screen for all practical purposes. Yeah, that's what I call a lot of the enemies. They're all Oompa Loompas.
Well, coming out for the Switch, we have Breath of the Wild, Legend of Zelda, Binding of Isaac Afterbirth, which if any of you have played any of the Binding of Isaac games, you'll be surprised that's on Nintendo at all. World of Goo. Those are coming out on launch day, March 3rd, which is fast approaching. And then later on down the line, we have in the summertime Splatoon, and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is also coming out in March or early April.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys. Mario Kart is my jam.
Oh, I love Mario Kart. Love. Oh, I love Mario Kart.
Well, I'm not much of a racer, but the Mario Kart games are just great. Fun to play, multiplayer. Oh, man. But I'm more of a platformer, especially those collector platformer, you know, where you collect stars or puzzle pieces. And so, I'm very excited for Yooka-Laylee.
Okay, you just you hit the hammer on the head where I was about to... Is that an expression? Did I express that right?
You hit the nail on the head with what I was about to
delve into.
What the hell is Yooka-Laylee?
Yooka-Laylee is an amazing... I can't say amazing yet because it's not out. But so Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, it is by the same developers who created that way back on the Nintendo 64.
Right.
And it is a 3D puzzle platformer, which we haven't seen in years. We haven't seen a true puzzle platformer in a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fleeks?
Hello?
Did I steal your wind there?
No. And I'm pretty excited because I really loved, like you mentioned it, Banjo-Kazooie. I never played Banjo-Tooie. I'm sad about that. But Banjo-Kazooie is one of the best kind of its games next to Super Mario 64. And I think Jak and Daxter is also a great collector, like of those kind of games.
I gotta ask you guys, have either of you two played Metroid? Any of the Metroid games?
Of course.
Yeah.
It's literally one of my most favorite, it's literally my favorite series of any video game ever.
Actually, I only really like the 2D parts of Metroid, especially Super Metroid. That's like in my top three of the best Super Nintendo games ever made. I ever played, I have to say that.
So it's my in your favorite... top three games ever?
Yeah. My top three games ever on SNES?
My favorite Metroid game, just in general, and the first Metroid game I ever played, funny enough, was Metroid Prime for the GameCube.
Right.
And my mother got it for me, because she got me the GameCube for Christmas, and she asked the game store clerk, what is a good game that takes a really long time to beat? And he got and suggested Metroid Prime. And I still have not beat that fucking game.
That's a little disappointing. It's not that difficult of a game, dude.
There's one boss in one spot that just pisses me off and drives me nuts to the point that when I finally do beat him, I'm so agitated with the game, I just shut it off.
So Metroid Prime is my second most favorite video game ever. Super Metroid is my first. To date, I think Super Metroid is the best video game to ever come out, just with all of the details, all of the little extra things in it, how far it pushed the Super Nintendo as a console just to be able to play it way back in the day. The boss fights were incredible, and for the day and age, the graphics were incredible. Even today, the sprite work and animations, phenomenal. Metroid Prime really did come really close to also becoming my favorite game of all time. The music in the Metroid series, in Metroid Prime specifically, is amazing. I honestly listened to the soundtrack of Metroid Prime and Metroid Prime 2 Echoes just in passing.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. And that's that. I really, I would say Metroid is on the second place for me of favorite games ever, because my first place is the best game ever made, in my opinion, still, even after 20 years, is Terranigma. It's actually a game that was never released in America, so you've probably never played it if you haven't used an emulator.
You've mentioned it, so I haven't played it yet, though.
Yeah, and that it was actually one of the last games that came out for the SNES. I think the Nintendo 64 was already available, and yeah, it flopped. The game flopped because it failed because nobody played SNES at the time anymore. Rarely anyone, and also, it was, like I said, it was never released in America. And, oh god, do you know the Soul Blazer series? Because that's, like, the last part of it.
The Soul Blade series?
Soul Blazer series.
Soul Blazer? No, I haven't actually played that either.
It's made
never
up
heard of it.
Soul Blazer, Illusion of Gaia, or Illusion of Time in Europe. And Terranigma, like I said, and the whole plot of this of Terranigma is that some catastrophe 1,000 years before it takes place destroyed the whole Earth, sank the continents and stuff. And you're going to the mission to revive the Earth. And at first you're like, bring back the continents, then you're resurrecting plants, then birds, what's pretty great, because you can talk to them afterwards. And then you're going to the mammals and other animals, and then at last you're going to the humans, where you're losing your ability to talk to animals, what I always find pretty sad. And the whole game is pretty sad in itself. It has a pretty sad ending, and it criticizes how humans destroy the Earth and stuff, yeah. But in a good way. I really love the story, and I recommend playing it.
For Soul Blades, or is this Terranigma still?
Huh?
Is this for Terranigma or Soul Blades that you're talking
about? For Terranigma. I was talking about Terranigma. I just gave the info that it's a follow-up to two other games.
Why?
That are pretty amazing, too.
Why didn't they release it in the U.S.?
Because Enix, it wasn't Square Enix at that time, Enix America closed down for the release.
Yeah, before Square bought them up, probably.
Yeah, they shut down, so no Terranigma for America. What's pretty sad, because it's the greatest SNES game, if not the greatest game ever made, for me personally.
I'm surprised they didn't bond or partner with someone else to distribute the game in the States. That seems really crazy that they would have such a great game in Europe and not want to tap into the American market.
Yeah, it was like one of the last games for the SNES, and yeah, it came out to a bad time, I guess.
Okay, so we're talking about our favorite games here, and you know, everyone's reminiscing back to the glory days. What is, if you had to pick your number one favorite game of all time and your number one worst game of all time, what would they be?
Oh, God.
As I already said, Super Metroid is already my favorite game of all time.
Right, but what about your least favorite?
I'd have to pull up Steam to look at that.
What about console games?
No, hang on. So there was a game that came out not too long ago that was a massive disappointment for me. I do have to look up Steam to pull it up again, but it was not Mad Max. It was Carmageddon. I remember it. It's Carmageddon. There was
never heard of it.
Well, it was a series back on, I think, the Nintendo 64 and that era, and I loved it. It was literally, you are in a car, you're mowing people over with these death machine cars with blades sticking out of them. They're like monster vehicles. You're racing, you're destroying everything, and it was a lot of fun. Well, Carmageddon, they released Carmageddon for the PC, I think, 2 years ago, 1.5 years ago around now, And they botched it so bad. They fucked it up so bad that it was literally unplayable. You hear that phrase all the time, literally unplayable. This one, you could not play it. They glitched out everything. Like it was the first like refund I've ever done on Steam. It was just so bad.
Oh, really? Man. Yeah.
Following up to that, No Man's Sky was a huge disappointment.
Now, when heard you guys about say that. The game's, when you say the game's literally unplayable and it's so buggy, is it because they didn't test it properly?
I'm sure they did, but they probably tested it in-house and were just like, well, we're just going to push it out as early access and do this whole thing with it, and it was not good. They hyped up this huge release for a classic game that, you know, so many people loved and so many people adored and their childhood growing up. And there's so many people were just shattered by it. Oh, you know?
Man. I heard the same goes for the remake of the Tony Hawk Pro Skater, the first one. I heard that was like unplayable too, and many people were like, oh my god.
I unfortunately don't know about the Tony Hawk series, but yeah.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite series as a kid. I love to play it.
But yeah, I hear it seems like a lot of game companies these days, not so much Nintendo, but with console games and PC games, especially from the bigger companies, they'll push bullshit on the market, unfinished products, basically, and then they'll do a massive patch, usually on launch day or shortly thereafter, based on feedback to fix problems that would have been fixed if they would have done proper testing to begin with.
Yeah.
It seems like they're making people that pay $60 a game or whatnot the tester, which is bullshit, and that should not be the case. But...
Or as right, the big the trend on the PC scene right now, early access. So you download a game while it's still in development. You pay, you know, almost full price for it. They give you a discount for being early access. But then they never actually complete early access, as in wrapping up. And I say this while I've poured how many hours into Ark now? I've poured 112 hours into Ark at this point, and I am madly addicted, madly in love with it. It's been 2 years since it first hit Steam, and it's still early access. They actually have downloadable additional content that you pay for as expansion for the game, but it's still in early access.
Oh.
So it's frustrating, but at the same time, like, Ark, as horribly unoptimized as it is, you need to have a good PC in order to be able to play it. It's so much fun in order to when you actually are playing it. Taming dinosaurs, wandering around, tearing down trees, terrorizing, you know, other villagers. It's awesome. It really is. And playing online, you know, multiplayer with friends, it's so much fun.
Okay. I know. I've never heard of Ark.
I've heard of Ark. I've never played it, but I have heard of it. And I have heard from the people that I know that do play it, they really like it. So
I'm looking at it on Steam right now. One of my friends is online playing on our server, and I want to join him.
You can do it later. You can do it later.
I suppose.
Podcast or Ark? Podcast.
Actually, I have a really bad game to mention here too, and we have a local shop here that sells used games. And sometimes when I still had a PlayStation 2, I somehow just took random games from the pile of €1 games. So they were used. They had a pile of games for €1 to €5.
Oh, wow.
And actually, I found a game called Ghost Hunter.
Oh, nice.
Living Ghost Hell. Hunter. With the subtitle Living Hell, and oh my god, that game is bad. Oh fuck, never played. You're like catching ghosts there, but not really. And you have a female ghost companion, so a sidekick.
Right.
And you can activate her by, if you do something, if you go to different places and activate her, yeah. And she flies, if that ghost can fly, and it looks like a fish that's stranded on land.
Blah, 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 what? Blah, blah.
I don't know. I can't explain it otherwise. And the game mechanics are so stupid, and often you do not know where to go. And it does title itself a survival horror, and it isn't. It doesn't take itself serious. And the main character has a fucking cringy humor. The whole game is based on a cringy humor. Oh, fucking God.
I thought you liked cringy humor, though, Fleeks.
Why? No, why
because
should
you're a
I
part
like
of this
it?
Podcast.
Oh.
Self-burn.
No. I actually prefer sophisticated humor, yeah.
Ah, okay, if you say so.
Okay. Okay. Have either of you two played Battletoads?
When the whole like hype thing with 4chan was going on, I did download the ROM and play it. It was bad. It was just a dumb game.
It's a bad game, yeah.
Fun fact, if you call most video game stores in the US and you ask for Battletoads, they'll hang up on you.
Back in the day, yeah. Now they'd probably just be like, ugh, dude, seriously, you're still at this? The hell, man.
That meme is dead. That meme is dead.
Very.
Also, I wanted to talk with you about, since we are bird podcast, I wanted to talk about video games with birds in it. Okay. Did you play any bird content games?
Bird content games.
So yeah. I keep getting told to play Hateful Boyfriend or whatever it is.
I played it.
I have no interest in playing it. Owlboy recently came out though, and I've seen some gameplay footage of that, and that looks amazing. That looks like an amazing, just original like 2D side scroll platformer kind of thing.
We do not have enough time for me praising it, but let's say first to explain what it is. It is an 8-bitish platformer in 8-bit style graphics. It's not really 8-bit, but you see the pixels and stuff, you know.
I'd say it's more like 16-bit. It's just a pixelated like game.
Yeah.
It's classic retro.
And the special thing on this is you're playing an owl boy that's like some combination of owl and human thing. And it has a very unique flying mechanics.
Oh, and yeah?
The main character is you can't do much. You can fly, grab stuff, and that was about it. You have a spinning attack, but it's not very useful. So you have actually team up with other characters, and right. You can grab them. And if you grab them, you can control them shooting stuff and put them on switches, and later on you can teleport them and stuff. And
you're coming with me now. Stand here.
Yeah. They are all your friends. But the game is very challenging for a modern game, and it's so much, the boss fights are so much fun, and the story, oh my God. The story is like, it plays with a bit with your emotions, and it's also very cute. I don't know how to say it, but the story got me, really, and that's if a story gets me, I love the game. You may want to beat
now,
it.
Did they ever create a Harry Potter game where you can fly a hippogriff? I heard they did.
PlayStation 2 Harry Potter game that came out that you could fly around on the brooms, and there was a part of the game where, yeah, you were flying on Buckbeak.
Hmm. Okay.
But it was a really short segment. I think only like 5-10 minutes long.
Oh, okay. But it's bird relevant.
What's
also, I heard
the game I thought was the worst game, bar none, was probably E.T. I actually found a ROM online and tried playing it, and I can't believe they pushed
old Atari
that game.
Yeah.
Yes, I can't believe they bothered putting that thing in a cartridge. It's like, what the hell? That was awful for 80s standards.
Yeah.
I mean, the it was so bad that the angry Nintendo nerd or angry video game nerd made a whole movie about it. So,
what are your guys' go-to games right now? Like, what do you pick up at the end of a day?
Sim games, but not like The Sims. I love playing SimCity. I always have, even though I know EA Games gets a lot of crap for it, but I love the old SimCity as well as the new one. I love playing Sim Tower. I don't know if you guys remember that game.
No, I don't.
It's a lot of fun. Google it. It's a lot of fun. You're in charge of building a skyscraper, and then you've got turrets that come and plant bombs, and tenants get mad at you, bug invasions, all kinds of crap. And this was pre-9/11 when they made the game. But it's very interesting, and SimCity, like I said, I love SimCopter. That game's a lot of fun, SimCopter. So basically all the Sim games I really enjoy playing for PC. Right.
Because you talk about simulators, do you enjoy Bridge Builder?
Who made Bridge Builder?
I don't know who made that, but it's a fun... there are several versions, I think. And that's a fun simulation I enjoy, but you have to work with physics a bit, so it's a tiny bit educational.
In school, we had to play a Bridge Builder for industrial tech class, and I broke the game. I made it to where when the truck went on it, the bridge collapsed. It was a suspension bridge. The one side would collapse, and the other side would go up really high, and then when the truck kept moving, the other side yo-yoed and bounced back up, and then the other side collapsed, and the truck was able to complete it. So basically, the bridge collapsed and popped up at the same time as the truck went along.
It was a trebuchet. It was
hilarious. Yes.
Okay, what did you want to say?
Core?
I was going to ask you, so you like playing like SimCity and all that. Have you played City Skylines yet?
City Skylines. I have seen a video of it. I have not actually played City Skylines.
I think that one you would enjoy a lot because it does actually take a lot of engineering into account as well. Like when you're building bridges and you're building dams and stuff like that, you know, I was just thinking because of you have some enthusiasm for the engineering aspect of it, City Skylines would be right up your alley.
Oh, that would actually, yeah, I've seen ads for it. I've watched a video. It sounds fun. Do you actually get to build the buildings themselves individually, or is it still just the planning?
It's like SimCity where you plant out the plot and you organize your city, but then they kind of like auto-build themselves, and you manage the city itself.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it's like a competitor's version of SimCity. Okay. That sounds cool.
Like modernization of it, because we haven't had an actually good SimCity since 1999.
Yeah, SimCity 2000.
Yeah. That was a good one.
SimCity 4 was pretty good too. It's the latest version.
Yeah, but it doesn't have kaijus that come out of the water and attack your city.
True, but the latest version of SimCity is actually, if you ignore the whole online component bullshit, it's actually still quite fun. It is. It's just there's a stigma because of the online component.
Gotcha.
What about you, Cor? What is your go-to game for the moment besides Ark?
Besides Ark, understandable. No, my go-to games are Rocket League, Grand Theft Auto, and sometimes Starbound as well. I will kind of rotate through those. I've got so many games, and so many of them I haven't played, but those are the three that I tend to like go back to, especially Grand Theft Auto 5. I have poured, at this point, 984 hours into that game.
Oh, man.
Mostly
Grand
online.
Grand Theft Auto 5?
Yeah. Mostly online, just destroying everybody in my path.
What'd you think of that competitor to Grand Theft Auto? It was what the hell was that called?
Saint something?
Saint Row?
Saint Row, yeah.
Haven't actually played it, but I have heard good things about it. There's a lot of people who enjoy it.
Crazy. I've played it's just crazy. It's like they took Grand Theft Auto and went unrealistically crazy to the point it's like, wow, we don't give a fuck anymore. Here's a guitar that shoots rainbows and ponies. Have fun.
That sounds about right, because they have the dubstep cannons, if I remember right.
Yes.
That sounds hilarious.
It literally is a cannon. It's crazy.
What my game is I'm playing at the moment is, yeah, because I really love making my own stuff is, yeah, and experimenting with the physics is Mario Maker. Yeah, that's like the game I play from time to time. So when I'm super bored and I don't have to do art and stuff. And actually, I'm digging into a game maker because I'm somewhat planning on doing my own game, but I'm not really anywhere there to start.
So I used to use Game Maker a lot, probably when I was like, you know, 14, 15 years old. And right. Then the company got bought up by Yo-Yo Games, and it kind of went downhill from there. From what I understand, Yo-Yo is actually doing a lot better as far as using it as a developer platform. Because you can now actually use it to release things onto like Android and iPhone. So you can use it to develop apps and games for those platforms, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can import it to PlayStation format and all the stuff. Just it's cool,
right? And I imagine for cheap little games, especially if you set up the game for free and do micro purchases, cell phones are the way to go. That's where you're going to make more money than say a PC, probably.
Unfortunately, true. Games.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. But is Mario Maker just for console, or is it?
No, it's just for the Wii U.
And recently, a version for the Nintendo 3DS came out. Yeah. But it should be. I heard it's shitty for some reasons I don't understand. But yeah.
I've seen it on the actual Nintendo Wii U. That one looks fun.
We are actually at the point of game development, and we already mentioned it in a past episode, but you all heard about Time for Birds, right?
Yes.
And I think we should give another shout out to that game because it fits the topic, and that guy that makes that. It gets more hilarious from day to day, and I think he recently said it will take some time, still some time, maybe a year or two until there's a playable demo.
Right. It is just him who's working on it. He's doing all of the modeling, all of the animations, building the world. So yeah, I don't doubt that in the slightest.
Yeah. The developer calls himself Noah, I think, and yeah, I think it will become a perfect game for bird furries, like all what we love about birds. He puts it in there, I think.
Yes, exactly.
I'm really wondering what it will be in the end, because.
Sorry, did they set up a GoFundMe or?
As far as I know, he has not yet. Otherwise, I told him that if he ever sets up a GoFundMe or a Patreon, to hit me up so I could transmit for him. And I haven't heard him back.
Totally kickstart that game. Also, he at the moment, he sells shirts.
Yes, he does.
Maybe you should consider supporting him that way. And you also get a hilarious bird shirt.
He has things on Redbubble. I'll get that pulled up now.
My favorite thing is I already pulled it up, and it's a shirt in bold fonts. It just says beak.
Oh yeah, I see that.
That's so hilarious.
I like the one that is beak. Gentle pecks. It's got two like blackbird raven things. One's like poking the other with its beak, and the other one's looking all happy. It's cute.
Yeah. And then you you have the one that has printed a chest pocket on, where the main character is
poking
sitting
out.
In the yeah, it's poking out.
It's cute.
Yeah.
Cute.
You should consider supporting that guy, definitely.
Oh, definitely.
Also, if you're interested in games with bird content, there's actually a Tumblr dedicated to that. It's called videogamebirds.tumblr.com.
Videogamebirds.tumblr.com.
Videogamebirds.tumblr.com, yeah, right. And it's only about every bird in video games is featured there, I think. And you find a lot of gems, like I found a game that's, I think it's called All the Shinies, and you're playing a raven collecting shinies.
Of course.
Yeah, just that. It's that simple. Or it taught me that you're actually, it's actually possible that you play in Guacamelee. You can, let me start, in Guacamelee you can actually play a chicken somehow or something. I don't know, it's probably an Easter egg or something. And
What bird doesn't like shiny?
The Corwid family actually likes them a lot.
Oh, well, there you go. Oh, what's your favorite type of games?
Adventure games, action adventures especially, action RPGs and platformers. And and Ace Attorney.
And what?
Ace Attorney.
Oh, Ace Attorney. Ace Attorney, okay.
Objection! No, everybody knows what I mean. I love this series. Oh god, I really love it. I dig it so much.
Because you like shouting that out into chat all the time.
I'm just gonna next time you shout that out, I'm just gonna say, "You're fired." But I'm gonna say it in Arnold Schwarzenegger's voice, who runs the show now.
You're fired.
And what about you guys? What's your favorite genre?
I love competitive games. Anything where I get to piss people off is always a bonus for me.
You don't say.
It's why I love Grand Theft Auto so much.
Since I'm one of the guys who gets pissed off by competitive games.
No, that's...
Even pronunciation. I don't like competitive games really much. I like cooperative multiplayers more.
I gotcha. No, I love... like I said, I'm the king of Mario Kart. If you ever meet me at a con, you can challenge me to Mario Kart. I will happily kick your ass. Second to that, I do love Grand Theft Auto for the aspect that, yeah, I can go running around blowing people up, but it has so many additional games within it. Racing games, war games, shooting games. You can play light cycles, like from Tron. They have that as a competitive mode in there as well. So much fun. And then I like Ark because, yeah, you kind of build up your own team. You cooperatively build up your, you know, fortress, and then you go take out everybody else. You start wars with other tribes.
Oh, God. That remembers me of my old times with the Settlers 2. Oh. That classic game, that was my childhood. Oh, God.
I like... My favorite game, obviously, is planning and engineering games such as SimCity and such. When I was young, I really loved Lego Creator. I would build all kinds of shit and then blow it up with explosive Legos. If you still can find that game, it's a lot of fun to play. It really is. But aside from that, I like games that are kind of adventure where you've got to use your mind, like a puzzle almost. And then I also like games such as Grand Theft Auto where you can go in and just if you are having a bad day and want to blow up the city with, you know, a tank, you can. If you want to go and complete a mission, you can. So I like that too. And then I like the hardcore classics like the Mario stuff.
Yeah,
I can totally agree. A lot of going back to just the classics and being able to play with friends is kind of the point.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a game for you if you're But yeah, I have another episode of Guess the Bird.
Oh my.
Okay,
oh
let's my. Do it.
Oh my.
And hopefully you will not get it in the first, after the first hint.
Before you ask the fucking question, it's like, before you start even... talking and then, boom, answer. What the fuck?
So, let me start. I'm sure you know the bird. I'm not 100% sure, but you should know it. You should at least heard about it. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's probably the first hint. It's so, and then let's start to guess the bird. I give you a few hints, and whoever guesses the bird right at first wins the game. Yeah. Okay, let's start with the first hint. These birds, it's actually a whole family, so just to make that clear. These birds feed on insects.
Gee, that narrows it down. Thanks.
Wow. So, you know, half of the avian family. Good lord.
Yeah. This bird family has mostly shiny black plumage.
Okay.
They are brood parasites.
Brood parasites? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't have a fucking clue.
They're laying their eggs in a nest.
Oh, shit. Why is the name not coming? I know this one.
I give you a second to think about it.
Sounds like...
No, I'm frustrated. I know exactly what species this is, but I think, remember the name.
I don't think you're on the right way because I thought you would be instantly shout that. And no, it's not a cuckoo.
No, I wasn't even thinking cuckoo. No.
No?
Thanks, but no, that doesn't help at all.
Okay.
Oh my god.
It's not a cuckoo, that's the next hint. Because I thought you would shout it out, but yeah. They are monogamous. That doesn't help much, too, I think.
Monogamous, okay. Right. So they have
but
one
mate. That one could help. It forages predominantly on the ground, eating insects that have been disturbed by grazing stock.
No, I actually don't know it then. I don't think.
Don't have a clue. What is it?
You will find them. You will find a lot of them always close to cattle. And this gave them their name, a special cattle kind of
cowbirds?
Cattle. Yeah.
Shiny
right.
Cowbirds.
It's cowbirds.
Okay.
It's cowbirds.
I don't know too much about the species, so I didn't know that they were I didn't know that they laid their eggs in other people's nests.
Yeah, most of the people
they
I expected that they would say
cowbirds.
Cuckoo. They would say cuckoo because cuckoo is like the exclamatory brood parasite. Like everybody thinks of cuckoos if they can hear brood parasites.
It's true. So I wasn't thinking
I thought
cuckoo, but I was thinking... God damn it, I don't remember what I was thinking.
And actually, those birds are pretty famous in science because they have a very unique behavior when they are brood. Parasiting. They're actually doing it because they don't have time to brood that much because they are always around the cows and hoping for insects getting disturbed and by the cows actually. And the cowbird actually will watch for when its host lays eggs and it has to left the nest unattended, like I said, and the female cowbird actually continues to observe the nest from the distance after laying her eggs. And if another bird is like, hey, wait, that's not my egg. Yeah. They're removing it. Then that female cowbird isn't really jackass and destroys all the other eggs of that.
Oh, snap. Bird.
Yeah.
That's vindictive, man.
It's called, and that's the interesting behavior the scientists watching, and there is a whole theory called mafia behavior, about mafia behavior.
Birds.
Because they're destroying it to get their
the original
own
mafia.
Yeah, they want to destroy the competition. Yeah.
That was
Orgastabird. You did well, Cor.
I didn't do anything at all.
You did guess it right.
Okay, fair enough.
So you won the game. No, woo!
It only took me 5 hints.
Actually, it took you 6 hints.
Oh, well, there you go.
even worse. Leave it to Peck to go ahead and tell you that you did worse than you thought you already did.
Exactly. What else we got going on?
I plan to talk a bit about How to Fool Boyfriend, but I will save it for the next episode.
Okay. So Jesus Christ.
Because I have to talk about the game a lot.
Yeah. Yes. 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 Oh my God. Hey, on next week, we'll talk about some awesome bird food recipes.
Really? Okay. Okay. Then we were talking about foods the next time.
Well, even if it's just a short 5-minute segment, I've got a couple recipes I found. I was like, oh my God, this looks amazing.
Do we want to answer one or two questions of our listeners?
Sure.
I mean, if we want to, let me go to the thing here.
That's the question. Do we want to? Or do we say, oh, let's save it for next time?
I've got a couple questions here, but I'm going to go ahead and pick one for this week, and we'll answer the rest of them next week. Sound good? What was your favorite childhood game tune? Sing it, we can hum it if you can.
That's a good ending.
Actually, let's make that into a challenge as well. So start singing and humming it, but don't tell us what it is. We have to guess it.
Oh, you don't know Terranigma, so I can't start my favorite video game track.
I'm starting. I'm sorry. Okay, you guys ready? You ready?
Ready.
Okay, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Dun 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 dun.
Super Mario.
There you go. That was hard. Okay.
Super Mario 2.
Yeah, the superstar. Yeah, you know you choose. Actually, can I think of something that you all know?
Smash Bros. No, not Smash Bros.
It could
no,
be
that
the,
was used
the
in Smash Bros.
It was used. That's actually the detective theme from Metal Gear Solid.
There, yep, okay. That's what it is.
That was one of the tunes I loved.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
And the boss fight melody. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, my God.
That's why it was familiar, is because I haven't actually played any of the Metal Gear series, because I'm horrible like that. But I have played Snake in Smash Bros., so...
Snake. I love Snake. He's kick-ass.
Snake!
He's a macho man.
Snake!
Snake!
Snake! Snake! Meru! Okay, no. I love to get the first game. It's one of my childhood favorites.
Okay, so you can get this one. Do 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 you know it or are you just singing along?
Yeah, I know it's Tetris, but you actually
Tetris. You just sung Tetris?
Yes. That one's type C, I think. So I was singing type A. He's singing type C.
Tetris no storm you put in when
type
there's
B. Type B.
When there's
okay.
Absolutely. Tetris is the game I played in Nintendo when I got tired of playing all the other games.
Still a good game. Developed in Moscow, Russia.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it was type C or type B, but
you mean
I like it.
Tetris was made in Moscow, Russia during the USSR days. Yes.
Sadly, the guy who invented it never registered it or never claimed rights on it. So he wasn't getting rich from it.
Which is exactly why there's millions and millions of Tetris clones.
Yeah.
So sad. So, is there anything you guys want to wrap up with? Any final comments?
I just wanted to say that my the favorite gaming music, because to go to Chuka's question, is the Saint Mountain track from the OST of Terranigma. Terranigma has, like, even for modern, even until now, a super great soundtrack. Only the soundtrack alone is so great. Nice. I just wanted to say that.
I agree. That's very good. My favorite, but to back core up here, I think my favorite gaming soundtrack would probably be Metroid series, especially Metroid Prime, Metroid Prime 2 Echoes. Fantastic work.
I'm a fan of 8-bit. I'm really a fan of 8-bit-like music. 16-bit-like music, so, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it is an art. It is an art. What about you, Cor?
Like I said, so I've always loved the Tetris songs. They're just really catchy.
Yeah, that's true. And very iconic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, at Bird Life Podcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes or via the RSS feed. And that's all for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, consider going to our website, bird.life, and kissing the magpie. Every time you kiss the magpie, it takes a dollar from your bank account, sticks it in our bank account, and that helps keep us ad-free and pays for the website. Because I'd rather beg for money at the end of the episode when we're finishing up instead of sticking an advertisement in the middle of the show, which is awkward and uncomfortable. Anyways, thank you again, and always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Always be beeping. You guys are asses.